from the Old Testament, Exodus. It's on page 77. It is it's Exodus 20, verses 1 to 11. So if you can get that, page 77. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses my name, his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he restored them on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We'll move on to the New Testament, and we're reading Mark. It's on page 1004. It's Mark 2, 23 to 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick up some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Thanks.
Thanks very much. Kath, we are going to hear from God's word now, and I'd just like Andy Cowan to come up if you could, Andy. Some of you who've been at Trinity right from the beginning, for several years, will perhaps remember Andy. He was often doing what Sam did up at the front with his guitar, leading us wonderfully in the music. It's great to have you with us, Andy, and you've been training for the ministry up in Oxford and Wycliffe for the last few years. And doing your studies there. So it's great to have you speaking to us today, and I'll hand over to you now, Andy.
Thanks very much. It's great to be back. Shall we pray, and then we'll dive in? Father in heaven, thank you for your word that speaks so clearly, so long after it was written by your Spirit. And we pray that you would help us now to understand and more than that, to love and to live out your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, I'm not very good at resting or taking time off. Partly it's because I can be quite inefficient in how I work. Partly it's because my work is often open-ended and has big deadlines, big ongoing projects, and maybe you can relate to that. And I know that when I don't have a good pattern of work and rest, and I mean proper rest when my mind is actually kind of switched off, I suffer and my family suffers as well. They don't get the attention and energy from me that they should. They don't get kind of proper time from me. On top of that, my work suffers because then I go back not properly rested because I haven't taken time off. Now, maybe you're better at that than I am, but I reckon that quality rest is something that we don't manage very well in our culture. We don't get enough sleep as a culture, apparently. We don't spend enough time unplugged from our devices. And it's a problem that many of us will recognize. And today we're thinking about the Sabbath command in the Ten Commandments, the command to rest. And again, if you're like me, then when I say Sabbath, you might not even actually think first about rest. For many of us, Sabbath might make us think first of Sunday, the day when you go to church. In the culture that I grew up in Northern Ireland, Sabbath involved a list of things you maybe instinctively felt guilty about doing on Sundays, maybe like washing the car, going to the shops or something like that. And so when Exodus says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, does that mean go to church on Sunday and try not to have too much fun on the way? Well, I mean, you're here, so you've done that part at least. That's good. Different Christian cultures often have deeply ingrained feelings about this. And we see the legacy of it maybe in what remains of Sunday trading and things like that. Some people are very strict about what you can and can't do on a Sunday, and others might say, well, hang on, Paul says we're free from legalistic demands of the law. No day is more special than another, so surely we can do anything. So there's been a lot of disagreement and confusion over the centuries over this whole idea of Sabbath, and it often ends up a long way from where it should be. In fact, we easily forget that Sabbath in the Bible never even refers to a Sunday, it's always Saturday. So this afternoon, as we get into this commandment, I want to leave as much of that baggage to one side as we can and try and approach the commandment with fresh eyes. And on the surface, it's fairly straightforward. So this would be a good time, if you've got it in front of you, to open up Exodus chapter 20 again. I think it was page 77 in the church Bibles. I think 78 actually is where we're going to be. Exodus 20. And if you look again at verses 8 to 11, you will see that the commandment breaks down into three parts. These are what it is, how it is to be obeyed, and why it exists. The what, the how, and the why. The what, I think, is verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Or perhaps to keep it holy, as you'll find in the ESV, which might be slightly better. That's the essence of the command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that word holy just means to be set apart or distinct or different, kind of special from everything else. So the heart of this commandment is to set the Sabbath day apart from the other six. It's to be marked out as different. But what does that look like? Well, that's the next component, the how. How do you remember the Sabbath and set it apart as different? What makes it holy? Well, verse 9 goes on. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. What makes the Sabbath fundamentally different from the rest of the week? What makes it holy in that way is that regular work is meant to stop. In fact, the word Sabbath in Hebrew comes from the word to stop or cease, to rest. And notice how all-encompassing it is. The whole of Israelite society is meant to basically shut down together. Families, servants, visiting foreigners, even animals stopped work on the seventh day, on the Saturday. So that's how it happens. Work stops for a day. And then finally we get the why. Why stop work for a day? Why does this day need to be different? And that's verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day, and therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So this command is grounded in the story of the creation of the universe back in Genesis 1. It comes from God's pattern of creating the universe, the world, in 6 steps and then resting from his work. In essence, just like when God made the world, you have 6 days for work, and then on the seventh day, the end of the week, you rest. That day is set apart for that purpose. So we have three elements, the what, the how, and the why. And it's pretty straightforward. I guess we could just stop there. Go and do likewise. Take Saturday off because that's what God did. But we need to push it deeper than that, don't we? Because after all, the Ten Commandments are here to reveal God's character to us what it is to live as his people. And I take it that the Sabbath has to fit into that somehow. And I think that the Sabbath points in two directions, and these will be our two headings, if you like, for this passage this afternoon. First, the Sabbath points back to creation and reminds us to rest. The Sabbath points back to creation and reminds us to rest. You see, the why, the reason for the command, shows that this isn't merely arbitrary, but is a principle that has its root in the very beginning of the Bible story. God worked and rested, and so humanity is meant to follow this pattern as well. And this is meant to be seen, I think, as a good thing. Verse 11 tells us that when God finished his work and rested, he blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Blessing is a very kind of Christianese sort of word, isn't it? But it's God's way of giving something his seal of approval. We're meant to see that this rest is a good thing, a gift from God for weary souls at the end of a hard week. So think about that feeling that you get when you finish a big job, maybe something that's been hanging over you for a while, when you tick something major off your to-do list, that feeling of relief when you turn in a big long-running project and you just breathe out and relax. We talk about enjoying the fruits of our labors, don't we? Open-ended jobs, I guess, make it that much harder to down tools and rest properly, but it's no less important. And this command implies that it is actually written into the fabric of creation. God himself sets the pattern for us to follow. And Jesus actually reaffirms that this is a good thing as well in that reading we had from Mark's gospel. Did you hear that? When Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." It's not about a list of things you aren't allowed to do or anything like that. We don't serve the Sabbath by preserving its sanctity or something like that. It's meant to serve us by being a haven from the pressures of working to survive and to give a chance to recover and actually enjoy life as God's people. The Sabbath is meant to be a blessing for humanity. If you like, God gives the blueprint for a healthy work-life balance. One day in seven to renew your strength to enjoy his gifts. Now, like I said at the beginning, we aren't often great at regulating our lives, and it's easy to get into unhealthy patterns. It probably doesn't help that the world around us swings to extremes on this, either working way too hard, putting in punishing hours, or else avoiding work and taking the easy road wherever possible. I guess each of us will tend maybe one way or the other, or maybe like me, you can go through phases of one or the other extreme. I take it that one of the reasons this command is given as well is so that we can also model how good it is to live under God's rule to the world, a world that exists in these crazy extremes and unhealthy ways. We can model what it is to live under God's rule in a way that is sustainable and acknowledges the need to work and the need to rest. So a question to reflect on is, do you build rest and recovery into your weekly pattern? Do you set aside a day to rest? What is stopping you? Sometimes we think it's outside our control, maybe sometimes it is, but maybe it has more to do with the idols we chase. By the way, you might be a parent here and be thinking, well, it's all very well talking about days off, but time at home is anything but restful. I get that. I sympathize with that. There are seasons in life when it just isn't straightforward. But my guess is that there are still little steps we can all take to get into more healthy patterns, even with our families, that better reflect the way God has made life to work in his world. Sabbath points back to creation and reminds us to rest. That's the first heading. But there are things about this command that suggest that there's something more going on as well. Although God finishes his work of creation and rests on the seventh day, we know that in one sense he never stops working. Jesus says in John 5, on a Sabbath day, "Even today my Father is working, and so am I." God is always working to save. He's always working to sustain and uphold the universe. And also in that reading from Mark, Jesus called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. What does this mean? What does this commandment look like in light of the coming of Jesus? So yes, the Sabbath points back to creation to remind us to rest, but more than that, the Sabbath also points us forward to the new creation and is fulfilled in Christ. That's our second heading. The Sabbath points forward to new creation and is fulfilled in Christ. You see, Sabbath isn't just about making sure we have a healthy pattern of work and rest. The coming of Jesus into the world, the Lord of the Sabbath, shows that it was always meant to be a picture of something bigger. Now, remember the context of the commandments in Exodus. I'm sure you've thought about this over the past few weeks. The people have been redeemed from slavery in Egypt and are on their way to the promised land. The Ten Commandments, then, of the wider law, are given to a redeemed people who are on their way home. They're meant to teach them how to live under God's loving rule when they get there and on the journey as well. And like that Exodus generation, we too are a redeemed people. If we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, we are a redeemed people on our way home. We too have been redeemed from slavery to sin and death and are heading to an everlasting home in the new creation. And in the New Testament, this future hope that is realized in Jesus in the present is described as a fulfillment of the Sabbath rest of God's people. Let me say that again, because I think that's quite a lot in that sentence. In the New Testament, this future hope realized in Jesus in the present is described as a fulfillment of the Sabbath rest of God's people. Now, the clearest place we see this is actually in Hebrews 3 and 4, which actually quotes from Exodus 20 to make the point. And I wish we could get into the argument of Hebrews, but it's just too long and complex, and we don't have the time today. But Hebrews says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. And his point there is that in a sense, God has been resting ever since he made the world and waiting for us to join him. God rested from his works and has been sitting in this kind of life of everlasting rest, waiting to welcome us into it as well. And the weekly Sabbath was just a picture of this, a signpost to a reality that we would share in one day, a picture of sharing in God's own ultimate rest. So too was the promised land where the Israelites were going. That too was a kind of rest that they were going to. And yet, even when the people finally got to the land, that wasn't it either, because there was something still bigger to come. The Sabbath command to rest once a week was a signpost to the ultimate rest that God would bring about through Jesus, his rest. And finally, when Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, comes and we trust him, it is here. As Hebrews says as well, we who have believed have entered that rest. So the pattern of the weekly day of rest is something that is still good for us, something we would do well to follow. It's the way God set up the world to run. It's the healthiest way to live as humans in his world. But we actually keep the commandment by sharing in the salvation that Jesus has brought. We who have believed have entered that rest. Rest in Jesus, in the absolute security of his forgiveness, in a certain life both now and forever. In Jesus, the one who says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus, who says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The Sabbath rest that Jesus brings isn't something that we only get to experience or enjoy once a week, but is the experience of knowing him and living under him as forgiven, redeemed people every day until faith becomes sight in the new creation. So as we start to draw to a close, there are a couple of things here that I think we could take away and ponder. One is to recognize that point that God in his goodness has laid out this pattern built into the fabric of creation itself that urges us to set aside time to rest each week. This command isn't really about Sundays at all. If you want to talk about that, then do come and chat to me afterwards. No, it's about building genuinely good and healthy patterns of rest into our lives. And this might mean that we need to take stock of our priorities and activities and make some changes. On one level, it could be quite easy. Our culture assumes a two-day weekend, doesn't it? Most of us have 2 days a week when we aren't necessarily expected to work. How are we going to use that time? How hard would it be to use one of them for real, genuine rest with family and friends, enjoying the world and life and gifts that God has given us? Maybe you are good at that already. Maybe what you need to do is consciously take that rest as a God-given gift, something he has designed for our good that you can thank him for. Think about how refreshing and freeing it is in a world where you often feel like you need to run flat out just to stay still, that God sanctions a break. I mean, even as I say it, it sounds kind of self-indulgent, doesn't it? The application being, go and have a guilt-free day off. Surely we need to be off evangelizing, being productive in all sorts of other ways. Well, first of all, taking time for rest doesn't absolve us of all of our responsibilities to family and to the world. It's not a license to shut ourselves off from everything. And in any case, I'm not sure these things are mutually exclusive. A genuine dependence on God and a life that trusts him enough to take proper time off is a compelling witness. And anyway, like I said, we have a two-day weekend and potentially all week surrounded by friends and neighbors and co-workers. If we are well-rested, able to take the time to recognize God's goodness to us, then we will probably be more effective witnesses anyway. I guess this also could be tricky to apply for those among us who don't work regular jobs. Maybe because of long-term illness, particular family circumstances, or retirement, or even unemployment. Maybe the idea of this pattern of work and rest might feel completely out of reach at the moment. Well, the purpose of this certainly isn't to add to any pressure or sense of guilt. Far from it. The point is to realize that God has ordered the rhythm of life for our good, and our utility, therefore, doesn't depend on how much we achieve during the week, in the workplace, or wherever. We all still need to recognize our limitations and need for rest. All of us have the opportunity to show by our rhythm of life that we follow a good and generous God. And besides this, we have seen there's another even bigger dimension to this command. So finally, the second thing to ponder is how this is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. We who have believed have entered that rest. Now, it might be that you haven't entered that rest because you haven't yet believed. Maybe you're still pondering and exploring. And I hope there's something attractive in the picture this afternoon of the rest that Jesus offers. He knows our hearts and souls, and he wants us to have a haven in him. Maybe that hope explored course would be the perfect thing for you to do to take this further. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. An eternal, soul-satisfying rest, a rest that starts the moment we put our trust in him and continues into eternity. You can take up that offer today if you feel you're ready to. But if you have done that already, are you enjoying the freedom and the forgiveness and security that he brings every day? Does your soul seek rest in him even in the madness of work and the pressures of home life? It might be that we could do with consciously taking the time to refresh ourselves in his words each day and leaning on him. And there are hundreds of ways we can do that for each other as brothers and sisters, as we share in Christian fellowship together, to help each other to hold on to this eternal rest in the world. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Above all, that means resting secure in Jesus, in his work on the cross, and enjoying all the blessings that go along with that. It means having a life that is oriented towards the day when we will enter that rest fully and finally. Let's pray together as we close. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness to us and that you have ordered the world in such a way that you want us to rest and to trust you and depend on you. We pray that we would get better at that and help each other to do that. But we pray also that we would lift our eyes to the future and see that we enter your rest above all by trusting in the Lord Jesus, a rest that begins now and continues into eternity. And we pray that you would draw us more and more into that rest as we lean more and more of our life and our weight on Jesus. For his glory. Amen.